whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Welcome in. It is overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you till 7:45 tonight right here on The Fan. Got plenty to discuss. We'll get you ready for the playoff game against Tampa Bay coming up on Sunday. There's a secret player that I don't know that a lot of people are talking about right now for Tampa that, if they're going to lose on Sunday, I think could play a big role. Talking about if Washington loses on Sunday, I think there's a player that we're not talking enough about. We'll dive into that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to talk with legendary Georgetown head coach and current senior vice president of Monumental Basketball, John Thompson III. Want to talk to him about basketball day in the DMV coming up on Saturday. Lots of college hoops, high school hoops to talk about. We'll get his thoughts on that and what that means for the area and how you can get involved and either watch or on TV or go to the games. We'll get plenty of information on that coming up in about 10 minutes. Also, maybe sneak in some Georgetown talk as well. But right now, I want to start with this because I thought this was interesting looking this up. I was just scrolling Twitter earlier today, and this kind of stands out when you look at what the new wave of the NFL is looking like. So when you think about quarterbacking in the NFL, I'm curious real quick on your thoughts on this, Chris. Do you think the quarterback position right now is better or worse than it's ever been?
I think it's fantastic.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
It's funny because, you know, just not that long ago, even going into this season, we were talking about offenses and how they were struggling and not particularly great. Right, we've seen the proliferation of this two deep shell that everyone talks about. Remember with the Kansas City Chiefs and Tyreek Hill and some of the changes, and talking about how some of the offense has gone down a little bit in the league. This year, I think you're seeing a resurgence of the run game. But I think when you look around the National Football League, you have to feel good in terms of the shape this league is in with the quarterback play. And a lot of it, too, I don't know that we would have felt this way coming into the season, but after this season, I think we feel a lot better. Because you added in some good talent. Caleb Williams, we'll see what he can be. Jaden Daniels, obviously, we've talked plenty about him here. He's the talk of the town nationally. You look at Drake May, he's shown some good potential. We'll see what he ends up being. You've seen Michael Penix step in and show some real promise. You've seen Bo Nix play incredibly well. And we'll see what happens with J.J. McCarthy. But that's adding in three or four legitimate starting quarterbacks that you feel good about with the future. What I think is interesting here, Chris, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, listen to the ages of the playoff quarterbacks. There's three guys over the age of 30 in the playoffs. Only three. Matt Stafford and Russell Wilson are the old guard at 36. You've got Jared Goff at 30, and then that's it. That's it. That's the only guys over 30. You want to know who's tied for fourth oldest? I'd have to look when exactly their birthdays fall.
Like Josh Allen, right?
Patrick Mahomes,
all right.
He's 29. And somehow he's now old guard at quarterback. You have Baker Mayfield at 29 as well.
He has won like three Super Bowls already. That is,
I mean, it's insane. You're seeing the transition of the league right now with the quarterback position specifically.
Oh yeah.
Where you're going from, I think if you would have asked this question not that long ago when there was some influx at the quarterback position, it was who's going to take the mantle from the Bradys, the Mannings, the Philip Rivers, like that era, Aaron Rodgers.
There were four big ones. It was Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Brady, and Peyton.
Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Who's taking that spot? And there wasn't a clear guy. Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes kind of was the first one to kind of.
He eventually kind of stepped forward and took that. I think Joe Burrow, he'd be on this list as well, but he obviously didn't make the playoffs. But,
and Lamar. I mean, Lamar's totally the new era of quarterback.
But the interesting thing is, like, you're starting to see those older quarterbacks start to phase out, and you've got the new superstars coming in, and I think you're seeing it in this playoffs. You know, Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes are at 29. You have Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen at 28. Sam Darnold's 27. And then listen to this quarterback list of quarterbacks 26 and under that realistically look like the future of the league. Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, and Jalen Hurts are 26. Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels are 24. And C.J. Stroud's 23. I mean, that right there is the future of the league. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes is at the top, But the other thing that's crazy about this is how many of these dudes have won Super Bowls and how many of them have won Super Bowls recently outside of Patrick Mahomes? Because he owns it.
And Aaron Rodgers ain't even in it.
No, Rodgers is not in it. But there's not many active quarterbacks at this point that have won Super Bowls either. I think it's kind of cool that we're seeing, you know, like we said, not that long ago, you're wondering who's going to take the mantle from the Bradys and those guys. Brady lasted a little bit longer than kind of that Manning and that stuff era. But who was going to take the mantle? Who was going to keep running the torch after those guys? And it was like, well, I don't know. We know who they are now. And there are dudes that are going to be running this league for a long time. Thankfully, Chris, it looks like one of those dudes is here in D.C. wearing burgundy and gold. It seems like that's going to be one of the guys. But it's cool to see the transition, and you're going to see it this playoffs where, you know, Matt Stafford at this point in his career, even though he's won a Super Bowl, I don't think people are looking at Matt Stafford as a top five quarterback anymore. It's, even in this group of 14 quarterbacks, they're not saying that he's a top half of that list, right? Russell Wilson, they're kind of, okay, he's probably washed at this point. Jared Goff has shown well, but like, it's the young guys that have taken over, and obviously Lamar has been spectacular, like you mentioned earlier. This guy's won multiple MVPs. He could win one this year. I don't want to have that discussion tonight. I'm still a Josh Allen guy, but I'm totally fine if Lamar wins.
Stafford, I'll tell you though, I wanted to say he reminds me of where Kurt Warner was when he was on like the Cardinals. You know, yeah. He's like that aged veteran that still has gas in the tank.
Savvy.
It's not like he's just like, oh, his career's done and he's on the downhill, kind of like where Rodgers is. He's still got gas in the tank, and he could carry a team deep into the playoffs.
Well, and that's where it gets crazy here, Chris, is like you look at this list, and a lot of times when we talk about playoff matchups and teams getting in for the first time and inexperience, right? You talk about Washington. It's like, do they have much playoff experience on the team? Jaden Daniels, first time in the playoffs, Bo Nix. You can look at a lot of these teams, and you're like, they don't have a lot of experience. You look at a lot of the quarterbacks. It's a lot of young guys that don't have the most experience. Herbert's played one playoff game. Sam Darnold doesn't have playoff experience. Hurts has good playoff experience. Jordan Love's been there one time, right? Bo Nix first time. Jaden first time. C.J. Stroud has a little bit of experience last year. Lamar hasn't had the most playoff success, even though he has experience. Josh Allen has played well in the playoffs, but they haven't gotten to a Super Bowl yet. It's just crazy when you look at where this is at now, where you're going to start getting to, outside of Patrick Mahomes, guys are getting to new heights that they've never been to before because the old guard has gotten old and passed out.
I think JD5 got ice in his veins, and I don't think it makes a difference to anybody in playoff or not.
So. I'm not worried one bit. To be honest with you, you know what my first thought was when we're watching that first half on Sunday, Chris? I was like, you know what the problem is? The lights aren't bright enough right now at Jerry World. the issue is there's nothing on the line here, and this team, frankly, I wish they would have come out with a, you know, BYOE, right? You heard that on Hard Knocks, bring your own energy. They needed to do that on Sunday. But regardless, playoff atmosphere, you know they're going to be feeling it. Yeah, they're going to be feeling it, man. They're going to be ready to roll. So you're right. I'm not scared at all about Jaden and how he's going to perform. But I just think it's interesting seeing the ages of these playoff quarterbacks and how we're kind of moved on from that era of the guys that we respected. And by the way, you've seen a shift in quarterback play. You listen, you hear Tom Brady, not mobile. You hear Peyton Manning, not mobile. Philip Rivers, not mobile. Eli Manning, not mobile. Right? Drew Brees, not mobile. You hear Aaron Rodgers outside of the first couple years of his career, not mobile.
Not only not mobile, though, it's also some of the throws these guys make. Like, you watch Mahomes or Lamar, these guys are making passes that you are taught from an early age. You don't throw across the field. Yep. When you're running right, you don't throw left. And like, yeah. That, you know, and like, they make plays like this now. It's crazy.
Yeah,
like,
and look at this list, though. How many of these guys are not mobile? C.J. Stroud, mobile. Jaden Daniels, mobile. Nix, mobile. Love, mobile. Hurts, mobile. Herbert, mobile. Sam Darnold, not really. Lamar, incredibly mobile. Josh Allen, mobile. Baker Mayfield has increased his mobility this year. Patrick Mahomes, enough. Jared Goff, Matt Stafford, not really mobile. Russell Wilson, at this point in his career, not the most mobile, but still a little bit. But that's like 3 out of 14 that you would say don't move. You're in a new age of quarterback play in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
Big time. It's really cool to see. And hopefully, fingers crossed, we can see a deep run from Jaden Daniels this year. The 24-year-old gets some good playoff experience this year as they take on the Buccaneers on Sunday. Let's take a break when we come back. Coach John Thompson III, he's the senior vice president now of Monumental Basketball. Got a big event coming up on Saturday at Capital One Arena. Basketball Day in the DMV. We'll get all his insight on how you can watch, how you can get involved, how you can go watch some of the games in person, and some cool deals for Wizards fans. We'll talk about that next here on The Fan. Welcome back. It is overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you till 7:45, taking you up until Hoyas Hoops. And it's an honor joining us now on the guest hotline, legendary head coach John Thompson III. Coach, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Really excited about this event. John Thompson III now working with Monumental, currently the senior vice president of basketball for Monumental Sports and Entertainment. You've got Basketball Day in the DMV coming up on Saturday. Really, really cool event with a lot of high school hoops. How can we check this out, and what exactly is Basketball Day in the DMV?
You know, so this is D.C. Do we have to pick out a day and call basketball? Isn't every day Basketball Day?
Absolutely.
In the DMV with the quality of play we have here. No, this is a special day where we as an organization, it's one of our initiatives. We want to shine light on local high schools. And I think that, just my opinion, that the high school and scholastic ball and travel team ball here in the D.C. area is the best in the country. It's the best because of the talent. Just as important, I think the coaching in this area is better than any other place. And so, hence, this is a basketball city, except for the Commanders. And so, we're just excited. We're gonna have a bunch of games. We're gonna televise on our network and just try to get a little exposure for different teams.
And I think it's really cool that you're doing this, because there is something special about this area, and specifically high school hoops. Obviously, hoops in all. We care about the Wizards, we care about the Hoyas and our local teams and colleges, but there's something special about this area with high school hoops. Can you talk about that relationship with this area and the WCAC and some of these other conferences in the area that we just love watching high school hoops in this area?
No, I think what I said previously, I think just the quality of play is outstanding. And you know, we're one of these cities that you get a chance, you know, you go out and you watch guys play, and then you see them play at the next level. And then you see them play in our league, in the pros. And so you get a chance at a young – when you catch them at a young age, just the level of focus, the level of attention, the level of coaching that they receive in this area is unique. And you see the players see the fruits of the labor, the schools see the fruits of the labor. And we're excited. We have 5 games on Saturday that we're gonna show on our network. The first one is a girls' game where Bullis is going to play Long Island Lutheran, and they are, you know, 2 of the top 5 teams in the country. Bullis is 18, LIU is number 4 this year. You know, followed up with the first boys game, Largo is going to play South Lakes, and what's unique about that is South Lakes has Jordan Scott, and Largo has Cam Ward, and they both are going to be at Michigan State next year, but you're not going to be able to tell that on Saturday because they're going to try to knock each other's head off and go at each other. You know, follow that up with DeMatha, who everyone in this area knows, and Jackson Reed from the DCPS, who's been playing well for many years now. And then the last 2 games, you got St. John's College against Highland of Virginia. Highland has Nate Ament, who is one of the best players, if not the best player in the country. He's not the best player. He's probably top 5 player in the country right now. And then finishing up the night with Paul VI. Versus the Christ School, and they both are nationally ranked also. So one thing about this tournament is, you know, each year the quality of our field gets better. And also the tournament grows, meaning we're showing more and more games. And so it's just a chance for some of these teams. You know, a few of these teams do have national games, but most of them don't. It's just a chance to get their exposure, to let them be seen on the Monumental Sports Network.
Talking with Coach John Thompson III, he's currently the senior vice president of Monumental Basketball. You mentioned quality teams to watch on Monumental on Saturday. Why is it important for Monumental? Obviously, you have the Wizards and the Caps, but why is it so important for them to highlight these local programs?
Well, I mean, we are a sports network, and the local programs have earned it. I mean, we have some exciting teams here. And we want to just give them the chance to showcase it. Everyone doesn't get the opportunity to play at the holiday tournament on ESPN. And so we just want to show, you know, most of the people in your listening audience probably understand and know how good the Scholastic Ball is in this area. But we want just everyone, as many people as possible, to get a chance to view basketball in the DMV.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a really cool opportunity. And where can people check this out? Obviously, all the games at Dematha and on Monumental.
Yeah, that's correct. Every game will be at Dematha, but you can pick it up on Monumental Sports Network also.
Coach, I want to ask you a couple of things outside of this. We'll get back to this in just a second. We're leading up to Hoyas Hoops tonight. Got a big matchup against Marquette. What have you made of Georgetown's season?
You know, they're playing better. That's stating the obvious. You know, Coach Cooley is in year two. You know, the talent is coming together. He's got some really good young players. You know, even in as well as they're playing, I anticipate it getting better just because he's had some injuries. But you see the progression from year one to year two, which in this day and age is harder than it used to be, just because of the transfer portal. There's so much turnover. But you see this team starting to take. You see his imprint on the team, and it takes time. The culture he's building, it's growing. So I think the Hoya fans are excited, and this is a big matchup.
Talking with Coach John Thompson III here on Overtime on the Fan. How different is it now? Where, you know, it used to be something where there were certain programs that would bring in the one and dones, right? You had the Kentuckys that kind of live with that with Calipari and some others, and they would kind of overturn their roster. But most of the rest of the country worked off of continuity and building a team and then working towards something and adding in talents along the way. But, you know, having that core group work together through their 4 years, that really doesn't happen anymore, Coach, with the transfer portal and everything. So how does that change stuff for a head coach? And, you know, Ed Cooley's done a heck of a job in year two of creating a much better program this year than it was last year. How difficult is it in the modern college era, especially in basketball, to build the program?
You know, it, in many ways, I almost feel like I'm not qualified to answer that because the game, the job is so different now. There's so many different factors and forces at play right now. And I think the successful coaches, you know, on a go-forward basis are going to be the ones that figure out how to navigate that, that understand you have to tweak. You still have your culture. You still have what you want to accomplish. You have your what's important to you and your pillars. But you're going to have to be able to, A, recruit guys, if it's from another team or out of high school, that fall into that. And just understand the window of bringing the group together, for the most part, is going to be much shorter. You know, everyone has to, not necessarily with the top 5-10 picks that Calipari was consistently getting, but you have to adapt the same mindset that Coach Cal had 10-15 years ago. It's like, if I have 12 people on my team, 6 of them may be one and done. Now, they may not be going to the league, but they're done here. and it's sad, but that's just the state of the game right now. And the coaches that can adjust and adapt and not be stuck in, oh, I'm used to having 3 or 4 year guys. Like, if you have to change your mindset. Just completely change how you process, how you think about recruiting, how you think about building your team, understanding that there are going to be very few guys that are going to, hey, let me wait my turn. And so what does that mean as a coach? Like, just those that can navigate those waters are going to be the ones that are going to have the most success moving forward.
Talking with the legendary Coach John Thompson III, now the senior vice president for Monumental Basketball. I want to transition to pro hoops real quick. What have you made of the Wizards the last couple of weeks, playing some better ball, getting in the win column, and specifically Alex Sarr? It seems like he's starting to adjust to the NBA game, and he's playing much better of late.
In general, you know, our team is slowly but surely figuring it out. You know, we have a team where most of our guys are probably younger than the guys on Georgetown's team, as you just mentioned. So it is an adjustment going from high school to college. It's an adjustment going from college to pro, or from playing overseas where Alex was to playing here in the NBA. And so I think our guys have gone through the growing pains, you know, but I think we've seen progress. We haven't seen wins, but we've seen we haven't seen wins on the scoreboard, but we're seeing other wins throughout the organization. We see other wins as we see our young guys, the three rookies and Bilal, who's a second year player. You know, they slowly but surely are getting adjusted. They slowly but surely are making fewer mistakes. They slowly but surely are executing what Coach Keith wants at a higher rate. And so that's important for us right now, is to have wins that might not necessarily merely be the score. Now, you got to win. I understand that. Winning on the scoreboard is important. But we are finding a way to build and grow and improve our organization as we get ready to win on the scoreboard.
Coach, appreciate your time. We're excited about this third annual basketball day in the DMV. Anything else you'd like to add for us going into Saturday's matchups?
No, just everyone turn in to Monumental Sports Network, and you're gonna see some good basketball. So it should be great. Turn it on.
Coach, appreciate the time.
Thank you.
You heard from Coach John Thompson III, the legendary Georgetown head coach, and now senior vice president for Monumental Basketball. Good to chat with him about Basketball Day in the DMV, the third season there, third year they're doing that. Going to be Saturday at DeMatha. Plenty of good games, and you can check out the games on Monumental Sports Network. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk some playoff football. There's some guys that I think were maybe flying under the radar a little bit on Tampa that I think the guys over in Ashburn hopefully know. They hopefully know that they need a game plan for them. I want to make sure you guys know about them as well. We'll talk about it next here on The Fan. Final 45 minutes here on overtime. Only appropriate we got to talk to Coach John Thompson III because we're leading up to Hoyas hoops tonight. Big one tonight for the Hoyas. They've had a good season. If you haven't been paying attention, you should check them out. They're playing really well. Big one tonight as they take on number 7 Marquette. I'm a big fan of Marquette as well. I was always a big fan of Shaka Smart, so I think it's going to be a fun one tonight. The Hoyas currently going into tonight's game 12-2. 3-0 in the Big East, taking on Marquette, who's 13-2, and 4-0 in the Big East. They're out in Milwaukee for that one. Tip-off coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll turn it over to them coming up in just a little bit. Right now, though, I want to talk about this football game coming up on Sunday. You know, the beauty of what has happened this season is we're still talking football. We're not looking ahead to next year yet. We're still talking real football. And something came into my mind. So I want to ask you this, Chris, real quick, because I think when you're looking at their offense, talking about Tampa Bay, when you look at Mike Evans, I think he's going to get his, right? On Sunday, Marshon Lattimore, I'm hoping he's going to play.
I mean, those guys hate each other. And I hope they play, if for no other reason, just to watch them go at each other.
That's going to be a fun rivalry. Now, yeah. I will say this. Love you, Marshon. Do whatever you want. No 15-yard penalties, please. Please. Have a little fun, mix it up a little bit, talk some trash. No cheap penalties. None. Well, you can't be giving away stuff to a really good football team in Tampa Bay. But Mike Evans is going to get his. I think Bucky Irving's going to get his. Who scares you most on that team? Is it Mike Evans? Is it Bucky? I'm not going to lie. I wanted to face LA because I'm a little bit scared of Baker just cooking. Now, Baker could also throw you the ball.
I think Baker is the one you got to focus. If you can keep him under pressure all day, then I think that's the best solution. That's not easy to do, though. So.
No, it's not. And I don't know that people fully understand the season that Baker had.
Probably the best season of his career, I was thinking.
Absolutely.
This year.
I mean, he has been spectacular. Look at his numbers. Completing 71% of his passes for 4,500 yards, 41 touchdowns, and 16 picks. Yes, a lot of picks. That's always going to be the case with Baker, but he's spreading the ball around. Like, you look at the guys that are catching passes from him. He had 1,000-yard receiver, and he threw for 4,500 yards. The next closest is Kate Otten at 600 yards.
So, barely 1,000 yards, might I add.
Exactly.
We all saw that.
Yeah, I mean, they made sure to get it to him on that last play. So Mike Evans is an awesome receiver. He's going to get his. You know, hopefully Marshon Lattimore plays. But the guy that scares me, Chris, and I don't know that we're talking enough about it. We've talked about Otten, you know, whether he's going to be able to suit up or not. And, you know, he's going to be a big threat at the tight end position. Bucky Irving is a really good running back who's come on of late, you know, finished with 1,100 rushing yards, which, by the way, again, he's someone that's not talked about enough either, right? Like, Jaden's going to win Rookie of the Year. We know that. Bo Nix was in the conversation. Brock Bowers got talked about. Bucky Irving quietly went for 1,100 yards as a rookie, even when he wasn't starting right away. He's been really impressive as well. The other guy that I'm a little bit worried about him, is Jalen McMillan. And I don't know that a lot of people are talking about Jalen McMillan. I don't know that the average fan really knows much about Jalen McMillan. This is a guy that was a rookie last year with Michael Penix at Washington, and he has come on since the bye week and caught 7 touchdowns since then. Looking at what he's done since the bye week in 7 games, he's caught 7 touchdowns.
What week was their bye week?
Somewhere in the middle. I got to look again exactly what day it was. I think it was, let's see, it was week 11.
All right.
Week 11. So since the bye week, 7 games, he's caught 7 touchdowns, caught 27 balls, 352 yards, 13 yards per reception, 7 touchdowns. They found ways to get him the football. He's had multiple 2-TD games, and he's kind of taken that spot of Chris Godwin. And this is something that I thought was interesting. I was kind of doing some of this as G&D was wrapping up. They've started using him all over the field a little bit. In maybe a Chris Godwin-style role, I think he's a little more explosive than Godwin at this point. But I think you have to watch out for McMillan. So I went back and watched, and before the bye week, they were primarily using him outside, kind of using him up a little all over the place, but primarily outside. If you just look at the season where he's lined up according to PFF, he's lined up out wide 457 snaps. He's lined up in the slot 161 snaps. So primarily out wide. But if you go back and watch his targets, of his 58 targets on the season, 27 of them have been outside. 14 of them have been in the slot. 17 have been, you know, either motions out of a stack, out motioning from outside to in. But he's been kind of moved around a little bit. But I think when you look at the way that he's been used since the bye week, it shows you more of what he's going to do in this matchup. 36 targets in 7 games. He's lined up outside for 14. He's motioned across into a stack, lined up a little condensed. He's lined up in the slot 9 targets. But this is where it's interesting. So he's lined up in the slot a quarter of the time, a little over a quarter of the time he's being moved around. He's motioned across the field. He's motioning out of a bunch. Running back lined up outside, motioned in. He's motioned inside. He's motioned outside. He's done that 11 times when he's been targeted out of 36 targets in 7 games. He's going to get moved around a lot. And what worries me the most about this and why I think he is someone that is going to be really important to watch on Sunday. If Lattimore plays, we know where Lattimore is lining up. It's over Mike Evans. Who's covering this guy? He's clearly their number 2 right now. Is Igbinoghene going to be on him? Is Samer still on it? By the way, if Sam Ristill's on him, I feel okay. I thought Sam Ristill played outside of anyone else on the defense. I didn't think anyone on the defense played particularly great outside of Sam Ristill against Dallas on Sunday. I didn't see much of anything defensively on Sunday outside of number 0. If Mikey's stuck covering him, I'll be all right. But they're moving him around now, so there's no guarantee who's going to get stuck on him. It's not like Igbinoghene's going to follow him around because he's lined up in the slot just a quarter of the time. He's lined up outside almost half the time. Like, there's no guarantee of who's going to cover this guy. And I think if you're looking at a recipe for a win, if you're hosting down in Tampa this week, who I'm looking at, Bucky Irving's going to have his game. We know that. Mike Evans is going to have his game. We know that. Similar to the conversations we're having where you're saying, okay, they've got to get the run game. You got to get Terry his targets. Who's the X factor? If I'm in Tampa, the X factor for this one is Jalen McMillan. And wouldn't surprise me at all if Tampa ends up winning and you look back and you say, wow, McMillan had 80 yards and a touchdown. He had 5 catches, 90 yards and 2 touchdowns. Or even if it's something as simple as he caught the ball 4 times, but 2 of them were touchdown catches. I think he's going to be a huge factor for Tampa Bay. And so if you're Washington going into this one, I think Otten, if he gets back out on the field, it's going to be really important to watch. Obviously, Evans and Bucky Irving. But I think the X factor for Tampa, just going back and watching some of this stuff and seeing, you know, it's not like you've been dialed into every Tampa game, but if you've been watching these games on Sundays, you know, when they come in with these game breaks of what's going on in other games, you've been seeing a lot of Jalen McMillan recently because he's caught 7 touchdowns in 7 games. He's going to be a big threat for this one. They're going to move him all over the football field. And the way that Baker's playing, maybe he throws you a couple, which, by the way, that's a key to this game as well. Baker's thrown 16 picks. When he throws you one, you better take advantage because otherwise it's going to turn into one of the 41 touchdowns if you don't take advantage. So I think a big part of this one is some of these other guys. And that's why I think it's so important when we look back at the Philly game when Lattimore played. The second game, he's lined up on A.J. Brown. I think you saw what this defense is going to do, specifically in matchups like this when you get to the playoffs. He's going to be lined up on Mike Evans. We'll see how Evans does. A.J. Brown did fairly well. But when you look at the rest of the team, they were kind of able to hold the rest of the team in check. The second half, they were able to slow down the run game. Yes, I know the context of Jalen Hurts being out, but regardless, they were able to find some success in the second half that they didn't in the first half. Lattimore being back, assuming he can play on Sunday, he's going to be stuck on Mike Evans. Then it's on the other 10 guys. Stop the run. Don't let Bucky Irving get going. Because, frankly, part of the reason that Tampa's done well at times this year in the second half, because they've also had some duds. I mean, don't forget, a couple weeks ago, you can talk about whether, you know, how good this Tampa team is. Not that long ago, on a big spot, they lost to Dallas. Now, Dallas gave Washington all they could bargain for on Sunday. They've lost to them once, so I get that Dallas is no slouch, but Dallas isn't a playoff team, right? But if they're going to make their hay, I think these other guys are going to have to be the focus this week. Lattimore is going to work on Mike Evans. But those other 10 guys, you can't let Bucky Irving get going because this isn't a team early in the year that could run the football particularly well. They've come on lately running the football, and it's allowed Baker to play even better. Stop Bucky Irving and allow these other 10 guys to focus on that. Jalen McMillan, if Cade Otton's out there, Devin Culp's getting going a little bit as a tight end. Find ways to stop these other dudes. Lattimore's going to take care of the rest, hopefully, on Mike Evans. Let's take a break when we come back. You want to hop in, 800-636-1067. We can talk about this. What scares you the most going into this game if you're facing the Buccaneers? Is it Mike Evans? Is it Bucky Irving? Is it something on your end? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. We'll get to some of your phone calls next here on The Fan. Welcome back. Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you for about 25 minutes, then we'll turn it over to the Hoyas. Looking for a win on the road, looking to stay undefeated in the Big East, taking on number 7 Marquette tonight. Should be a good one. We'll have it for you right here on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until then. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. We're talking a little bit about who scares you most going into this one. It can be your own team. It could be Washington's run defense. It could be Washington's O-line. Those are pretty scary. It could be Mike Evans. It could be Bucky Irving.
Scary Terry.
It could be Scary Terry. For me, it's Jalen McMillan. And you're like, well, I'm telling you, if the Buccaneers win this one, don't be surprised at all if it's Jalen McMillan that's the X factor for the win. I'm not focusing on him over Mike Evans or anything, but keep an eye on Jalen McMillan. Make sure you're aware of what he's doing. Let's get out to Nate in D.C. Nate, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, Grand Danny? How y'all feeling?
Well, this is Toby, not G&D, but what's going on, Nate?
Oh, my bad, Toby.
All good.
Does that mean I'm Danny today? Do I get to be Danny?
Hey, listen, Nate, I'd rather be listening to Grant and Danny right now, too.
No. Listen. It's because I'm in traffic and I'm focusing on these crazy
all good.
Drivers.
Yeah. Stay safe out there.
But I'm trying to. So have you guys noticed that all of our playoff appearances going all the way back to like the 2000 Brad Johnson, Stephen Davis team always goes through either Tampa or Detroit, and I think like this time we're going to have to go through both. With that said, I think who I fear the most in this matchup is actually us. With all due respect to Mike Evans and Jalen McMillan and Bucky Irving and Baker Mayfield and that beautiful defense over there, I think that, to be honest, we could outlast anything they have to give us because, for one, we owe them. We owe them from week one. We owe them from our last playoff appearance when they had Tom Brady, and I really feel like Jaden Daniels will be the best player on the field. He's the difference maker, and I think that we can outscore them. We might not be able to stop them, so I'm not really afraid of what they could do. Like, Bucky could go on for 110 with a touchdown, and Mike Evans could get his usual touchdown that he seems to get every week.
Yeah.
And it won't really matter because we could really outlast these guys.
Nate,
I think we could 38-35 them or something like
sure.
that, like, to be honest.
Nate, appreciate the phone call. Stay safe out there. I think he brings up a good point. If they're going to win this one, if Washington's going to win, let's be real. It ain't going to be a defensive slugfest. They're going to have to win this one by putting up some points. To me, it's a race to 30. Whoever gets to 30 first is likely to win. Because Washington's not winning if they don't put up at least 30, I feel like. I feel like you can count on Tampa putting up at least four touchdowns because they've been able to run the football. This just shows how important Jaden is, by the way. The old adage, Chris, as long as football has existed, has been what? Run the ball, stop the run. Can Washington do either of those things? No. They can't run the ball.
Jaden can run.
Well, but you're correct. But that's not your typical run. They can't run the ball up the middle with Brian Robinson, and they cannot stop the run at all. And yet, they won 12 games. They went 12-5. They increased their wins by three times, went from 4-12. And they can't stop the run or run the football.
I mean, as long as they're not getting blown out, they got a shot in these games. And they've shown that time and time again this season. As long as they're not getting blown out, haven't always won. They lost to, Pittsburgh by a point. But, man, they are in these games late. And if they can stay in, JD5's got a chance to put on that cape.
I want to talk about that more in just a second. But first, let's get out to Paul in D.C. Paul, what's going on?
How you doing, brother? What's going on with you?
How's it going, Paul?
How you doing?
Doing great, man.
I'll say big players make big scores in big games in the playoff games. So I'm always afraid of Mike Evans, but I'm more, to be honest with you, I'm more concerned with Cliff Kingsbury and the offensive strategy. I need him to open up the offense more. I definitely need him to stay focused on that running game with Brian Robinson. You say we can't run. I think that we can run. We're just not disciplined in running. We don't stay consistent with it. And we don't do different things for it. And what I mean by that, well, it's a good thing Eckler's back because we need like some halfback toss passes, you know, like getting sure. them on the outside. Not always trying to run Brian up the middle, but you can also get him off tackle sometimes. And I think if we control the clock, because early in the year we were one of the best run teams in the league. So mm-hmm. don't say we can't run. We just haven't been disciplined in our
run. The issue with it, Paul, and I agree with you, and thank you for the phone call. Part of the issue I have, I agree with him. Earlier in the season, they were one of the best rushing offenses in the league. And it wasn't all Jaden running around scrambling, design quarterback runs. No, it was legitimately handing the ball off to Brian Robinson and letting him make hay. They haven't done that for half a season now, is the problem. You think back to the three-game losing streak. They've won five in a row. That's eight games. That's half a season. And they have not run the ball well except once in that eight-game stretch. At this point where they're at, yes, they could run it earlier in the year. They ain't that team anymore. Jaden's not that quarterback anymore. The defense isn't the same. Things happen. That's the beauty of an NFL season. It's a living, breathing organism. It doesn't just stay the same from week one till the playoffs. It changes. And frankly, for Washington, you know, we talked about the cliff. They haven't hit a cliff in anything else. They haven't fallen off a cliff in anything else except for the run game. The run game has disappeared. And I have a hard time. Like, Paul, I agree with you. You have to run the football. But if you're Cliff and you're going into a win-or-go-home game, if Brian Robinson's averaging 2 yards a carry, do you just keep banging your head against the wall, hopefully hoping it finally caves in, or bash your head in? And the way that it's gone recently, that wall's not falling down. You're going to bash your head in if you just keep going and going and trying to run the ball up the middle. And I don't know that it's Brian Robinson. I don't know that it's all the offensive line. I don't know that it's all Cliff. I think it's a combination of all of those things. I tend to agree. You have to find a way to run the football. But if they're not able to do it, to me, this is where you just, and this is to your point, Chris, where I think this team can find a way. They haven't run the ball now for eight games. They've gone 5-3 in that stretch. Lost three in a row, won five in a row. They're going to find a way. They're gritty. They just find something. You know, I think they do need some creativity because you think back to the second half of that Atlanta game. Remember the first half against Atlanta? There was no run game. Not Jaden, no one. It was like every single time Cliff called a handoff to anyone, it was like, well, that's a waste of time. It's not going anywhere. Well, they've got to find something there. But in the second half, you remember, Jaden got out on the edge, running a little bit. Suddenly, Chris Rodriguez gets a few yards here and there. And by the way, I think they should run Chris Rodriguez more. But also, this is where I wonder if it's a little bit Brian Robinson. I know his yards per carry weren't great on the couple of carries he got against Atlanta. Go back and watch the carry that he picked up 4 yards on up the middle. He's hitting the backfield. That was 4 yards on a -1 yard blocked play, right? Like he made 4 yards out of that. But B-Rob started to run the ball better in the second half. They're going to have to find something. I agree, because you don't want to continue to just get into a shootout every single week. But that's also their best plan to win because they're not stopping anybody. It's just, it's a wild, wild scenario where if I were not in Washington and didn't have a bias and want this team to win, I'd be looking at this matchup thinking, good grief, Washington sucks. And they won 12 games. And the reality is, here's how I feel about this, Chris. I was talking trash to a buddy after the Falcons game. They clinched their playoff spot. There was a chance they could play LA. I immediately called my buddy who's a Rams fan. He's like, man, I'm not intimidated by your team. You don't have anything outside of Jaden and Terry. And you know what I said? You're right. Yeah, correct. They don't.
No lies detected.
That's how wild this season is, by the way. You go, do you feel confident about your O-line? No. Do you feel confident about your receivers outside of Terry McLaurin? Nah. How about the tight ends? Ertz is fine, but he's not great. How about your running backs? Well, they haven't run the ball well the second half of the season. Okay, your quarterback's great. Yes. All right, there we go. Feel good about one thing. And Terry. Defensively, do you feel good about your D-line? No, they don't really get pressure.
Luvu's been good. Luvu, though.
But, you know, he's kind of linebacker. But
I know.
Do they get pressure? Nah, not really. Do they stuff the run? Nah, not really. How about the secondary? Surely, nah, I don't feel great about them. What do you feel good about?
Well, Lattimore's healthy. I feel a lot better about our secondary.
But this shows you how important Jaden is, by the way. I just named you everything you can possibly feel bad about on a football team, and you feel good about one thing, the quarterback. That's it. And you feel, I don't know how all of the fans feel. I don't know how you feel. I think they're going to go in and win on Sunday. And I don't feel good about anything outside of the quarterback position. Like, that's a little bit hyperbolic, but not much. Like, that's how crazy good Jaden has been this year. It's just been so cool to see how he's developed through the season to the point that, you know, I'm trying to remember what I think it was the Philly game where I basically in my living room watched this game. I'm like, you know what, Cliff, stop running the ball, stop doing it, put it in Five's hands and let him win. And he did. You go in the second half against Atlanta, put it in Five's hands, let him win. And he did. It's been incredible to watch him go. And so when you got
that
five on your
drive
side,
was just so fun to watch, man.
Absolutely.
I mean, you could just see him willing the team to win. You know, it was just purely like, yeah, no, this is going to happen, and I don't even care who else is on the field because I'm just going to make this happen right now. Like,
and to show you how much he means to the team, you know, go back to watch that 14-minute mic'd up, and this shows the leadership of Mariota, where he's gotten hit a couple times on that overtime drive. He's crouched down, and Mariota comes over and tells him, hey, stand up, get your air. The reason he's telling him to stand up is the rest of the team's morale just goes way down if Jaden's not ready to roll, right? Like, everything rides and dies with number five. Like, our emotions, like, the whole fan base, that's how the team feels, too. If five is good, we got a shot, baby. We can do it. You're down by 2 touchdowns late? Give five a shot, man. We'll figure it out. If five is ready to go, we got a shot. Oh, five's not feeling it? Five's good to go? We're good. Doesn't matter. That's how everyone feels as a fan, and that's how the team feels too. But it's such a galvanizing feeling where it doesn't matter. We've got the dude. And honestly, this is where it's crazy with the NFC. I know we got to hit a break here in just a second. This is where it's crazy with the NFC. Would you take any other quarterback over Jaden in the NFC?
Today, no.
The answer is no.
No.
No. Washington's got the guy. And so it doesn't matter who they face. Doesn't matter if it's the Lions, doesn't matter if it's Vikings, doesn't matter if it's the Rams, Eagles, Packers, or the Buccaneers, you feel good. Because when all chips are on the table and everything's got to go, you're all in. Give me the team with the best quarterback. And Washington might be that team right now. They might not be the best team overall, but the guy under center is the best, so you feel good about your chances. Let's take a break. We'll wrap things up next here on The Fan. A couple minutes overtime here on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until we turn it over to Georgetown Hoops as they take on number 7 Marquette. Real quick, I want to talk about one thing, but first let's get out to Rob in Arlington. Rob, what's going on?
What's going on, fellas? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Two real quick things. What a luxury it is to be able to sit here and pick apart a 12-win team and talk about what we're scared of.
Right.
I'm with you, Toby. I think they can hang with anyone. But for me, the biggest thing is the penalties. Like, what are we doing? And it's not just getting 80 penalties or 8 penalties for 70, 80 yards. It's the timeliness of the penalties. It always seems like it's on a drive late in the fourth quarter. We're down by 3, down by 6. We really need a score, and we're jumping off sides. We're false starting. Our punt team lined up in the neutral zone by 4 yards, it seems like. What are we doing? I think we clean up the noise there a little bit. Our team has a chance against anyone, so we'll see what happens.
Appreciate the phone call, Rob. Yeah, that's, again, baffling. You can't even say that this has been a disciplined football team. Penalties, it's so many sloppy mistakes, and yet they've won 12 games. And I'm excited to see what they can do in the playoffs because you fix one of their many issues, you can beat any of these teams. They could beat any of these teams with a lot of these issues. Imagine the run defense shows up on Sunday. Imagine they play good pass defense on Sunday. Imagine they don't have penalties on Sunday. Imagine they run the football on Sunday. They get one of those things, look out Tampa. Look out Detroit. Look out Minnesota. Look out Green Bay. Because if they start figuring stuff out, watch out. They've got the best quarterback. Look out. One thing you mentioned earlier, I want to hit on this before we get out of here, Chris. You look at what they've had, this 5-game winning streak down the stretch here, and you look at this season. I think going into next year, we're going to look at some of these things, and I already know some of the discussions that are going to be had, and it's not just going to be here locally. It's going to be looking nationally at these one-possession games and, oh, fluky win here and this and that. You already know some of that stuff's going to happen. There's something about this football team where they just find a way to win. They just find a way. I was talking about this with Doc on the postgame show. And by the way, we're going to have a postgame show after the game on Sunday night. We'll take you up until 2 a.m., Doc and I. So we got plenty of coverage all week on The Fan and even after the game. Hopefully after a W, looking ahead to whoever they're going to face next. But look at New Orleans 20-19. Yeah, maybe that goes another way in another year and another time. But they found a way to win. Philadelphia. Yeah, Jalen Hurts is. They found a way to win. Atlanta. Yeah, they found a way to win. Dallas this past week, found a way to win. You know what matters in the playoffs, Chris? Your fantasy score, right? No. How many yards you pass for? No.
I don't know fantasy anymore. Fantasy's done.
I'm just saying all that stuff matters, right? No. All that matters in the playoffs is you find a way to win. And so all these last couple weeks where it's not sexy, you're complaining because Terry didn't give me anything in my fantasy championship. B-Rob's not running the football well. All this stuff that is annoying and frustrating and not going well. How thrilled would you be if you show up and you play like you did on Dallas on Sunday and get the same result against Tampa? Because they won. That's all that matters.
Man, I think Tampa's a better team, but yeah.
My point is, all that matters on Sunday is you win. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter how everyone plays. Doesn't matter one bit. We're not going to look back and say, well, but, you know, Jaden didn't throw for 300, so does it really matter? Doesn't matter. Find a way to win. And you know what's been beautiful about this team? They found a way to win. How many times have we seen this team, this franchise, whatever name, snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory? How many times have we seen that? Think about this team.
Just meltdown after meltdown, it
meltdown
seems.
Meltdown after meltdown. Think about this team. How many times have you seen them snatch victory out of the jaws of defeat? That doesn't happen around here.
I mean, I think Jaden set records this year doing it.
Jaden set records.
And not just for a rookie, but just records.
That does not happen around here. And so going into Sunday, I've got confidence that there's a couple things that are going to happen. Jaden's not going to wilt. Jaden's not going to disappear. He might not play his best game. He might not throw for 300. He might not run for 250 or pass for 250 and run for, you know, 100.
Can Jaden play in warm weather? We don't know.
Yeah. I don't know what you're going to get, right? I know Jaden's going to show up and play. I know this team isn't going to quit. I know this team is going to fight for every last inch, right? I know this team is going to show up and give their best effort. If they come up short, it's not going to be for lack of trying. I don't know that you could say that about teams in the past. Obviously, not necessarily playoff games in the past, but I don't know that you could say that about just teams in general in the past. This one, they got a shot because they find a way. They claw for every little bit. Even when everything is going wrong, look at Dallas on Sunday, they find a way. Even when everything's stacked against them, they find a way. And so when you go down to Tampa on Sunday, it ain't going to be picture perfect. Not everything's going to go your way. Mike Evans is going to make a play. Bucky Irving's going to make a play. Maybe Winfield makes a play. Jaden screwed up multiple times in game-winning spots. And then he got another shot, and what'd he do? He won the thing. He won it. They've got a shot, baby. They've got a shot. I cannot wait for Sunday. I know you can't as well. Georgetown taking on Marquette next. Keep it right here on The Fan.